All right, welcome to the Code Catch Up. We've got a few things that are new that we want to talk about and thought what better way to talk about than get the whole team together. So I need to go. Maybe we start with Cooey because I think it's your debut on the Code Catch Up, mate. So welcome.
Thanks so much.
It'd be good to maybe you can tell us what's released at the moment, what we're going to talk about today.
Awesome. So now we've had yesterday we've had a product release of four different things. We've got the 615S, the 680R, the R tails, which include two. There's a 120 and a 135, and then also a special little cover for our code paddle. I think first of all, we should jump into probably my most use of the four products, probably the 615S. This is the smallest S of the S range, and this is kind of my go-to when I go towing. Like here in Sydney, I tow a lot, and I just love this foil because it feels like I'm surfing on a surfboard. Like you can literally get tight in the pocket, and there's no real limitations I've found yet to that 615S. So it's a pretty special wing, I think. And like when you first hear the numbers, it's a little bit scary. Like it's tiny, and it looks tiny, but like yeah, there's just something about it. Like it's still a great high performance prone wing, but it's definitely what I gravitate towards when I tow, even if it's, you know, 1 foot all the way up to 6 foot or 8 foot. The 615's the one I grab every time I go towing.
Yeah, we had a fun session a little while ago down your way, and just playing around with a few different tails on it, and maybe you could talk us through what setups you've been using. And I want to talk to Marcus as well about the 615 because he's done a bunch of winging on it too. But let's stick with the tow stuff. And the
yeah. So I think like I with my style of foiling, I've definitely come from like longer fuses. I kind of like to make that pitch adjustment as minimal as possible. I like it when it's you're just like kind of flowing through turns and there's less up and down movement with your hands kind of winding up the windows. But I think lately I've definitely been moving more towards smaller fuses because it does allow you to just go tighter in the pocket, make more aggressive moves, and kind of, yeah, just a bit more high performance foiling. And I've been pairing the 615S with like a small fuse. I went straight away to the smallest tails, like the 150 AR. But after chatting with Jimmy and Marcus, they told me to experiment with bigger tails because that actually helps with the stability. Because you're limiting your fuse size, you throw on a bigger tail and that creates more stability. So less moments where you're being so pitchy up and down and out of control. So that was definitely something that I would have never have thought myself, because like usually when I'm towing, I like to just go small everything because yeah, I just, for me, I thought that a big tail would create better low end, but I've just found out lately that the big tail actually limits the low end, but adds more stability. So when you're towing, that's something that you want. I find you're not looking for linking waves. You're looking for stability, but still a lot of maneuverability in the pocket with your small fuse.
Yeah, I remember chatting to Marcus about it, and Marcus, maybe you tell the story when I was pretty resistant to the bigger tails and why I didn't want to use them.
Yeah, you went, I think you first tested the 615 on, yeah, like Josh was saying, small everything, which is fine. And it's probably also what I would do first up. But I kind of was playing at the same time with the 720 in for prone with bigger tails, because I'm pretty unfit. So I was enjoying a bit more surface area for pumping out. Yeah, I sort of said, well, you know, you were kind of saying it felt a bit too skittish, maybe.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was kind of was suggesting maybe to go the bigger tail. And yeah, you're a little resistant, but it's cool. Like you chucked it on and went out and you're like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good having those bigger tails. I think a lot of people kind of think that they're maybe more for a learner, and you pair a big tail with a big front wing, which I kind of find nearly the opposite of what I do nearly in all disciplines, just about, except for winging, where you basically got a motor. But yeah, where you don't have a motor, if I'm using a real big front wing, I'll use a small tail to keep it a bit loose, and I'll use the lift of the front wing. And the tails, yeah, like it's a stabilizer. So yeah, it was pretty interesting with the whole testing phase of the 615, and figuring out how it works, because yeah, you obviously lose a lot of stability when the span's taken away, which is good when you're rolling, but you know, if you have a moment where you're kind of straight, and it will feel a little fidgety. And that tail can kind of give you the best of both worlds. So when you're kind of stagnant and going down a line, it will stabilize it. And then when you're going to the surfing, you know, rolling side to side, it will, you just got to find that balance with your setup, I think.
Yeah, for
I
sure. I
think.
think it's probably a good time to talk about the R tails, like just because we're talking about it, like big front wing, small tail wing. And like you said, Marcus, like I've really found the smaller tail actually improves my pump as long as I can hold my speed. I can get it to the speed that I want to be going. So it sounds strange, but the 615, I originally bolted on with the 150, and I tried the 120R, which is our new sort of more downwind specific glidey tails, but it's a small tail. And then I played around with a lot, and I've kind of settled on the 135 with the 615, just because of the extra span gives extra stability, but the reduced cord gives extra speed, so I can pump better. And I can still feel like I'm turning with enough stability. I really like that combo for prone, and which basically is, you know, turning and being able to pump. Whereas if I'm towing, I'm pretty much using the 615 with the 188 tail, which is crazy to like. You look at it, when you put that combo together, the tail almost has the same amount of span as the front wing. Like it's a funny looking setup, but for big waves, it really gives you a lot of hold, and like it's like using a step up. You know, you just have that extra bit of control and stability, which I'm loving.
I think a key point that you forgot to mention there, Jimmy, is when you're experimenting with those bigger tails to create stability, is that you have to throw in that shim that
For
actually gives
sure.
it less lift, which is, I thought that was the game, like that changed the game for me, because you're actually, the tail's not giving you as much lift anymore, but all it's doing is creating stability. So like, try and not focus on how big it looks compared to the front wing, the tail, but it's there just literally to give you stability. And I just, like, when I figured that out, I was like, okay, we're on to, like, yeah, Marcus is onto something here.
And
Yeah.
you're talking about shimming with the AR tails though, right? Because
Correct. Yeah.
yeah, you
Don't
don't
shim the R tails.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The
I
R tail
like that
is a
one.
different beast for sure. The R tail, pretty much, yeah, fine. But most people never shim. You'll get the odd person who might. The other thing that I reckon it's important to point out for people who are kind of listening, and they're like, oh, small tail makes it better for pumping. If you're learning to pump, it's not really the case. It's, if you're very good at it and you can hold it at a high speed, you obviously got less drag. So if you're good at it, it can be easier in a way, because you're cutting away some of the drag. So those smaller R tails can be good. They're less forgiving. So if you aren't very good at it and you find that you drop in speed, you'll drop out, and the bigger AR tails are better. I think maybe that's what you were touching on, Josh, at the start, where you're saying it kind of limits your low end. It kind of, the smaller tails are good if you're good at pumping. If you hold it at, you know, the high speed, it won't slow down between the pumps as much as a bigger tail will. But you have to be at a certain level to have that feel, I think. I'm not sure if everyone would agree on that, but that's kind of how I think it's important to make sure that people don't rush out and buy tiny tails if they're learning to link up, you know, two for ones or three for ones or something.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a Goldilocks. You know, there's too big and there's too small, and too big is going to create too much drag, too much stability. It'll limit your pumping, and too small, you'll never get to the speed that the front foil wants to go. So you're just going to drop out. And there's that sweet spot. And what I find, especially using like I've ever since Molokai last year, I've loved using a slightly bigger front foil and the smallest tail I can get away with, because I get the lift from the front foil. And the smaller tail allows me to maximize the speed out of that bigger foil. So it, like, for example, using like a really big foil with the 120R is a really nice feeling. And in some respects, it's easier to pump if you've got, you know, if you can match the energy of that top end easily, because the glide, basically a smaller stabilizer is just limiting the amount of drag, and a bigger stabilizer is increasing the amount of drag. So there's, as I said, there's a sweet spot in there, but yeah,
Yeah,
it's
and you've got the stability from the front wing because of the spin.
exactly.
Yeah.
I want to bring Dan and Ben into it. What have you guys found with the 615 and I guess the R tails so far from our testing?
Go for it,
I
Dan.
yeah, I don't use it too much, but when I do, it's wing foiling over in WA. And well, for the last few months, I've been in Perth, so most of the time I'll strap the 615 on when there's an easterly, and I just go to the river and go as fast as I can. Usually with the 85 centimeter mast, the long fuse, and it'll be the 150 tail, which is usually where I like to set it up. And as Josh said, I like to shim it and just put my head down and see what kind of Ks I can do, which is probably an odd discipline, and we're not talking about prone or anything, but yeah,
What sort of
I'm really
speeds are you hitting,
surprised.
Dan?
Well, it's easy to get under 2 minutes, you know. Okay, you know, it's not a huge runway either, and I think I messaged you a while back, Jimmy, and like you kind of go and you got to jibe before you get to the K where I go down on the river, and you're still jibing and doing it around the twos. So no, I love it. I love just putting my head down and going really quick with the thing.
So
And
that's for those, that's 30 Ks an hour, like averaging. So there must be some top, you know, higher top speeds in there. I
Yeah,
never
those
read
are
too much into top speeds, because sometimes I feel like it's like GPS error. You know, sometimes you get like a top speed of like 75 or something, and it's like, that can't be right. Maybe that was during a crash when I did, you know, big arm movement. But
or if I leave the Garmin on when I hop in the car, and then you go home and you're like, oh man, I've been going 70 k's an hour.
it
feel, Dan, when you're going that fast, when you're doing a 2 minute kilometer? Like
Oh, it's
obviously hitting some pretty big speeds for that amount of time to get that average.
Good. I mean, the river, I mean, you get those kind of hard gusts, and I've got a big sail up. I'll chuck the 5.5 up and just see how I go. But find the long fuse helps, and probably the 150 tail helps as well. So yeah, I don't have an issue with that stability. I mean, I've been on the S series now for so long, and you're going down from, say, the 720 or something to the 615, it's not a huge difference in feel. And the other discipline here, because we don't have much swell, is obviously downwind, but that's, I haven't pushed that there. The guy over here that pushes that hard is Donnie and John DeNisi, and you've probably seen him attempting backflips downwind and stuff like a mad dog. But his go-to setup on the downwind is 615 medium fuse, and as you said, Jimmy, he chucks the R tail on, and he hooked into that pretty early on, and his go-to is kind of the six. If it's up 20 25 knots, he'll be 615 with the 120 R tail, and
Impressive. It's
that's it.
I
That's
feel
his
like it'd be a
go-to.
lot of pumping personally, but I know that in WA it's like really nice steep bumps, and when the bumps are real steep, you get like lots of energy all the time. Whereas over here in Sydney, like the run we did yesterday, if you'd used the 615, you would have been in all sorts, because there was like sets of swells, like pretty fast moving swells, and then like just the wind chop. And I actually used a 680R yesterday, which is the other foil we've got to talk about today. And when those sets were there, I was able to ha hang on to them really nicely and felt really good. But then in between the sets, I was left, you know, with a bit of pumping, a bit of work to do in between, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, it's not that it's all glory there. He did a run down south, Gracetown to Inchidup, and where all the bumps are kind of a lot more spread out and probably more similar to what you're describing. And he had a shocker on the 6:15. He had great moments, but there was a good couple of Ks at the start and the finish that he was really struggling. But, you know, John, he's in another level. He's very skilled. So I wouldn't be going rushing out and buying a 6:15. He got downwind in, that's for sure.
You know? I think WA is its special own bubble, having just left there and come somewhere else and like, different. It's like, it's unfathomable using that here on the East Coast. Why the swells change it. Perth's so flat. There's like not a skerrick of swell. And when they think they've got swell, it's quite, you know, it just means you can see it. Whereas, you know, here, when there's swell, the wind's not, you're not getting that wind chop generated on the surface like you are in WA, because it's like, it's a flat ocean basically. And the chops are so perfect. So you can always find a bit of energy and the paddle up's super easy. So yeah, unless you're in WA, like I said, like Dan said, I probably wouldn't rush out and make it your go-to.
But yeah, wing foiling is great. And I think one of the early tests, Marcus, were in Hood River last year and you took the
15 from kinda, I think we just got hold of them and just before we left for that trip. And yeah, I went out. It was a shame I didn't have some safety gear because I was doing the same as you, Dan. I had the GPS on, which I think I've only ever done that one time. I just wanted to see how fast this thing could go. And I was being a bit cautious. I've had a short mast on and I got it to 50 Ks an hour cautiously, you know, just kind of thinking, having already blown an eardrum before winging and stuff. I'm like, I think this is as far as I'm going to push it today. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see like if a racer got on it with a decent mast in some flattish water to see what it could do. But it's a fun wing for sure. I think it's crazy how fast it can go and how slow it can actually go for its size. It was some of the craziest foiling I saw on the 6:15. The thing that impressed me most was Josh and James using it at Watergoes during our shoot. And yeah, some of the in the pocket, it was like watching surfers again. It was that blew me away. I was like a proud dad.
I just looked up. So Will McMillan is one of the guys we sponsor. He's a wing foiler wind IQ foil racer. He's 110 kilos. He's a big boy. He pushed the 6:15 to 34.1 knots for 2 seconds. So I'm just going to convert that. It's at
34.60 Ks.
Yeah. Is it?
Pretty close.
63. Yeah. And that was in light, what he described as light to medium winds. So 63 Ks an hour. That makes, seems like, well, you did pretty good, Marcus. 50 for, you're probably half his weight.
Yeah, the little mast was pretty, it made it interesting too, but it's cool. I'm not surprised that he got it to that, just knowing that I got it to what I did kind of cautiously, and he's into that, you know. That's probably the first time I've ever just bolted something on and really gone for speed for a session.
Yeah,
and yeah, Will's, he's obviously a professional speed foiler.
He's a speed guy.
That's cool.
Yeah. Bongi, tell us about your experience with the 6:15S and the R-tails.
6:15, I guess, is pretty much what you would expect from a scaled S series. Like, it's got all the features that I love. So it's got like the great range that we're used to. So it's not just a tow wing. You can paddle in and prone it. For someone like me and, you know, more advanced guys can prone it really easy. So I reckon that's probably one of its best features, eh? Like, it's not just for towing. It's not just for big waves. I think we've seen Josh link up like 3 or 4 waves pumping into a headwind on it. So it's like, it's not as small as it sounds, and it does all that great stuff. Like, it surfs amazing, but it's still pretty like acceptable as a real world prone foil. So it's not just for you guys to prone. I think, like, I can prone it. I'm not out there every day, so it turns amazing. paddles in pretty easy, and you can still link up waves on it. So probably the versatility of it is not really surprising to us, but I think to a lot of people, they'd be surprised with what they can get away with on a foil that small. For me, the tails, I'd probably pair it with something a bit smaller than you, Jimmy. I'm lighter, which is weird because then everything else, I feel like I'm always telling you to use a bigger tail. But for the 615, I probably just need a bit bigger for it to be a bit more forgiving. But yeah, like if I was going to pair, to be honest, I'd like 150 or 158. Or the R series. I prefer to surf with the AR most of the time with half a degree shim in it. But yeah, that's my take on the 615. I love it.
Yeah. It was a fun, we had a fun time up around the Byron sort of Gold Coast area a couple of months ago, you know, shooting all this stuff, and probably worth going towards the 680R. And I want to go to Josh because we got a few breakthrough moments on the 680R when we were doing testing some of the stall speeds in the flat. Actually, when we got back to Sydney and we went to the spit and we're just paddling up in flat water, a bunch of different foils, and basically tell us about the 680R, Josh, and how you felt. I guess, how's the stall speed on it for you?
Yeah, so like what Jimmy said, we did some flat water testing, and my goal that day was to paddle up the 770R because I've actually never done it before. I haven't really put much energy into just a straight flat water session. And that day I got the 770 up, and then I just thought for shits and giggles, I'll try the 680 as well, and got that going up too, which actually I would never have thought I would ever get something up that small. So it's quite, when you look at the foil, it literally just looks like a knife. Like you look at it and you go, like, there's no way you can downwind that. But there's something in that foil section that just has such an amazing low end for how small the actual surface area is of foil. I think with that 13 aspect ratio, it allows you, once you paddle up, as soon as you can get that glide going, if you can just keep like little continuous little taps to keep it gliding, it just wants to keep going. It wants to glide. So it's really cool now to have a foil for, like, here in Sydney, we're not so blessed with, like, you know, crazy 20 knot plus days all the time. Like, we're usually downwinding in 10 to 15 knots most days. But, you know, like just like the other day, we had, you know, a 20 to 25 knot day. And it's nice to now have in the quiver a foil that you can literally just go Mach 10 on. With the 770, I've never felt like the top end where I've wanted to get blown out of the water. But it's just nice now to have a scaled down version where, say, if you're on like a 10 foot swell with a 20 knot wind blowing behind you, you can just ride down that thing as if it's like a hill snowboarding. Like, you're not there just holding on for dear life. You're actually going snowboard carves down it, picking your next line, going up and over the swell in front of you, and then linking onto another set wave. And it turns it into a skate park now, which is really cool. Because it's a scaled down version as well, even though it's still 13 aspect ratio, the wingspan isn't as large anymore. So it's quite easy to roll over. It turns it nearly into like a, like, I personally haven't proned the 680 yet, but I feel like you could definitely prone that thing and then turn it into like a link machine. And yeah.
Yeah. I've proned the 680 a little bit, and it, as you said, it links really well. Like, it glides super well, but you're sacrificing a bit on the turning compared to the S series. But I know lots of guys who love surfing the R series and they're loving the 770. And if you're loving the 770 in the surf, you're gonna froth on the 680. It's a much nicer, you know, it's a smaller span, so you're able to turn it that little bit harder, I guess. Yeah, it's a different
surfing when you're downwinding. I think when you're going that Mach 10 speed, it's like you're doing down carves that are generating more speed into the next bump in front, versus, like, you know, when you're prone surfing and you want to have an S swing on, you're more so kind of like wanting to keep with the speed of that wave that you're on. Because if you're on, you know, a really fast wing, you're just going to go miles in front of the wave and then out into the shoulder. So it's like you're trying to achieve a different purpose. And I think what's really cool is that 680 allows you to bank turns at really fast speeds and not feel out of control. And if anything, generate speed out of those turns into another swell or wind bump. So it's cool to, yeah, it's cool to definitely have a foil that turns high speed, big swell downwinding into like a game now of just like not hanging on, but mucking around and doing roundhouse cutbacks and stuff.
Yeah. Marcus, I saw you smiling. I remember when we first did a Maliko run on the foils, and I remember you were afraid to drop down some of those big, you know, those big, into those big troughs. And yeah, it was really interesting. So we've been testing the 680 since July, you know, basically before Molokai last year. And the previous time that Marcus and I had been over to Hawaii foiling was pre-COVID, and we were using very different foils. And our experience pre-COVID was it was hard to drop into the swells and hard to hang on. Like, you're almost avoiding the big ones. So that was what we had in our head. We went over to Maui with that in our mind, and we did a couple of runs, and I think we started out in the 770 and the 680, or the 680 prototype we had. And we were shocked at how low energy it felt compared to what it had felt like previously. And the Maliko run was the same. It was just the foil equipment has progressed so far that basically on a average Maliko run, the 680 was, it wasn't, and the 17, like, it wasn't scary anymore. It made it feel really tame, which was, I don't know, maybe explain that a little bit, Marcus.
Yeah, I think probably just not saying that the R series is like changed the game, but foilings, like you said, it's foiling that's increased so much. We had a big stint away from Hawaii with COVID. But yeah, I was obviously pre-COVID, I was probably 2 years into downwinding, sort of sharing it with a bit of downwind on the race up. So I was a bit greener, obviously, than I am now at it. Maliko, I remember just thinking, we're always using tiny boards as well with bigger foils for sure. But the foils generated so much front foot pressure. And if you were trying to kind of bomb a run or bomb a section where you're getting those big, clean wedges, and it was actually scary. I get upset. I refuse to not go down a bump with the foiling gear we have now. I get upset with myself if I do that. So I just don't do it anymore. I'm like, I have to go down. And me and Ben actually had a crazy run here maybe a week or so ago. It was massive. And I was going down, definitely the biggest bump I've gone down, downwinding on the 680. And I was just hooting. It was crazy adrenaline, like I've never felt before. And Ben was kind of across from me. Got to the beach, I was like, how was that bump I was on? And Ben's like, I wish I had a GoPro. You looked like an ant on that thing. it was quite a big swell. And it was just real rowdy. Like, a lot of experienced guys coming in just going, I crashed like 7 times on that run, you know, just out of control bumps. But yeah, you get to the top and you're like, I can't not go, can't back out. it was kind of a bit of a joke in WA to say, like, you can't not go. Dan was like, he was going through a phase, was like, I pulled off a few. I'm like, you can't do that, Dan. You have to go down. It's a rule.
Oh, man. The other day I had, it was like 25, 30 knots here on Monday, and Belly literally sat behind me and he's like, nope.
Stop cutting off. Yeah. But the 680, that's would have been the fastest I've gone top speed. I didn't have a watch on previously. My fastest top speed going downwind with a watch on was M2M last year. But this bump, it was like I was on a smaller foil completely lit. And it's probably the first time ever I've felt the 680 kind of go to maybe its full top end, which I rarely ever feel, just period, on the R series. And yeah, it's still, like you were saying, it's still really controllable. Like Josh was saying, so you never really feel like the need to back out. You kind of almost get excited. You're like, cool, let's
bring it on.
Let's take it on. Yeah, let's send it. Yeah, and it's cool. I did have one blow up where, I just went a little bit too hard, but it's crazy what you can take on with these wings for sure. And the fact that, you know, you can paddle it up on, you know, on cue. If everyone decides to go, like, all right, Khan, let's go. We're going downwind. Just paddle up and go. In WA, it was my most used wing. I used it in a race, probably in, it would have been sort of 15 knots in WA. But like we're saying, WA's bumps are kind of special. And yeah, it's a cool wing. I'm a big fan of the 680. Before moving to the East Coast, it pretty much just remained bolted, had the aeroplane bolted up with the 135 as my daily driver, unless it got super light.
Yeah, I've definitely found the last couple of days, the 680R with the 135 is a great combo. I got a bit stuck on the 680R with the 120R, and for my weight at 83-84 kilos, that was, if the conditions weren't quite right, I was having to pump a bit more than I'd like to. But the 135 definitely gave me a little bit more forgiveness. And then obviously I even tried it with the 150 shimmed, and that, you know, again gave me, like, I could use it in, happily use it in like 15 knots and be able to, you know, enjoy it. Whereas with the 120, I got stuck out there on a couple of times in 15 knots. And while I didn't come down, it was the cardio was, you know, the heart rate was a bit high for what I'd like to be doing, for sure.
What it also taught me was this changes downwind altogether, because you're not, when you get the 680 going, you're nearly disregarding wind bumps and just hooking into swells. You're going from swell to swell. So it kind of, when you start changing kind of the patterns that you know in your mind of like having to peel off on each wind bump onto the one behind, you're now just hunting swells and going on a swell for, you know, over 10 seconds at a time, gliding, going Mach 10. When that swell runs out from behind you, then you just link onto the next swell behind. And it turns into, it's just a different game of like reading the ocean again, because you're peeling off less, but gliding more and going more Mach 10. But if you do make a mistake and don't read that next swell that's behind you, and then you don't hook into a wind bump, it's different. So sometimes it teaches you, it, like other conditions where you think you might need a bigger foil, you don't. You need a smaller foil because you're just looking swells.
Yeah, for sure. It's tricky, because that's the thing we always have in Sydney. It's like sometimes you need to go smaller foil to match the swell, or go a way bigger foil and ignore the swells altogether. And I think before we wrap up, I kind of want to dive into the R tails a little bit more, because for Molokai, I use the 860R with the 120 R tail, and that really allowed me to maximize the top end of the 860R. Without the 120, I wouldn't have been able to hang with the swells like I did in the middle of the channel. But with the size of the front wing, I could easily make the flat water start at the beginning, and also easily make the upwind sort of swelly mess at China Wall a reality as well. And the 120R and the 135R, those tails with bigger front wings, really unlocks the next level. You get a lot closer. Basically, I found the 860R with the 120 tail, you could go as quick as you could. Personally, I could with the 770 with the 150 tail. So I was unlocking that extra bit of top end while also having that ability to paddle up with ease. So it really makes it a super efficient setup with those smaller tails.
I remember
something that I've really loved.
It was 2 days before or something, you were testing those two combinations, and all three of us were in Hood, and you were saying that you were testing kind of that 770, 150, 860, 120, yeah, and settled on the 860, 120.
Yeah, it was, literally, I literally a week before the race, I jumped on the 860R thinking I'll see how it goes. The forecast looks a bit light. And it was a session back to back on the 770 and the 860 that sort of allowed it. And yeah, like I said, the 120R being such a small, efficient tail allowed that extra bit of top end for the 860, which I think a lot of people will find that if, you know, they already have a 770, I'd recommend trying the 770 with the 120 before you went and got a 680, because there's that 770 with a 120 is a super versatile setup. For me at 83 kilos, if you're like in the 70s, you're probably going to get a fair bit of extra, you know, speed out of a 680, because essentially it's like an 860 for me. But yeah, it's, for me, it was the magic, that combo. I'm stoked the R tails are out, definitely, because it really, to me, that was almost the magic for Molokai to Oahu. That 120 tail paired with the 860.
Yeah, I don't downwind with anything else anymore. It's always an R tail now.
Yeah, it's every now and then I go the 150 if I'm using 680 and I want to do more turns, but it's always shimmed, and yeah, it's hard. It's not as efficient a feel, that's for sure. The R tails as well, I've mucked around a fair bit in the surf, and especially a few sessions at Watergoes switching between tails with the 720. I really found I love my favorite setup for a really good foil wave like Watergoes is the 720S with the 120R. And the reason I like that is because the smaller tail prevents, like in turbulent whitewater, it prevents like those really big, you know, shooting up like high nose moments. I really like the R tails for how flat and speedy they are. So you hold your speed and you don't get that real big, almost like something like a speed bump. You go sort of up and then down. You don't have those pitching moments, I guess, with the R's is what I find. Have you guys played around with that? The R tails in the surf?
I pretty much use a 135 for everything now. Bit of it is because I love it and it kind of does everything pretty well. And also I can just leave a fuse and a tail bolted together and I just flip the front wings. I pretty much use lately, just in the surf, been using the 850 with that tail. And then for downwind, I just chuck it on whatever R series I'm going to use. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the 135. And the 120 as well, like is good. And I'd probably use it more if I wasn't always getting to the beach and super excited to get out there. But it's two more bolts I've got to undo. Do it. But yeah, you know what it's like.
Yeah. But you need another fuse, mate.
Yeah.
What about you, Bongi? I know you've been playing with the R tails a fair bit.
Yeah, I use the 135 just about for everything. I love it with the 680. So with the 680 and the 135, I can do like 150s downwind and also 3 minute downwind. So it's a pretty crazy setup. And like whenever I wouldn't say, like you see, you know, you say, oh, if it's over 15 knots, whatever. Like Josh said, I've done downwinders where it's gone offshore and 5 knots and it's still swell running. And I'm doing like 205s just chasing swells because the foil's got this, and not that hard. Like it's hard to chase them, but once you're on them, it's like a real interval workout. So it's, you can see it and you got to go hard, but if you don't go hard and get it, you're fucked. It's no good. Like you got to get on it, you know, otherwise you're just working harder and there's nothing else to chase. So yeah, the 680 and 135, I reckon downwind is, for me is probably my favorite setup and I'm always looking to use it. And you can just about use it in anything as long as there's a little bit of energy, which there's normally some swell running. And it's super forgiving. Like Marcus was saying the other day, everyone was crashing. I found that it was super comfortable with like a 10-foot east swell while we're going across it. It's just seemed solid.
Yeah, so for those listening, this is when Kelly Slater decided not to go to Portugal, the WSL event. He flew to the Gold Coast and was surfing, you know, maxed out Kira. And so this is the day that these boys are out downwind foiling out to
sea. Yeah, I think it was a day or two before that day. But yeah, it was solid. And like off the back of the Tweed River, it was the tide was pushing out after we'd had some rain, and the bumps were standing up like houses, and the swell was coming from the east, the tide was coming from the west, and there's just these weird bombs. And yeah, like you can just attack them and snowboard down them.
And did you have PTSD, Marcus?
What's that?
Did you have PTSD going out the river mouth at Tweed?
We didn't go out the river mouth. I'm not talking about that ever again.
ever since we have to talk him into every downwind we do. Like, it'll be fine.
I actually don't mind getting out. I'm like, oh, you know, that's kind of, it was a good reality check of moving back to a coast with waves and getting used to it again. But and coming in usually is less of an issue. But yeah, as we know, things can go wrong sometimes, eh, Jimmy?
I haven't had the best run this 2024. We'll be 3 months in. I've had three pretty good episodes surfing injuries, not so much just foil injuries, but got pretty much stitches in the side of my face surfing overseas, and then foil in the head paddling out at Bruns when it was like, you know, 6 foot and just copped the set on the head, and then failed rock off at DY Point. I think that's my three things done for the year. So it's all looking up from here. But I'm looking forward to a bit of a spell of no injuries. It would be nice. No cuts. Yeah. Definitely humbling. Going to be gung-ho, I guess. But you got to risk it every now and then. Got to get out there.
How's the R-tails for winging? Has anyone done that?
Yeah, flat out. That's the only thing. Nice. Love it. I was out yesterday, actually. We have this setup, which Ben had just made a board. And yesterday was a little too big to get out downwind. And we went to the Broadwater, and it's like a little mini hatchery. So they downwind and paddle up with the current. And it looked very good for winging for me. So I left the big board in the car and went winging with them. I kind of just pretty much always use 720 with the 135. I had the 850 on because I've lent my 720 out. And but it was perfect anyway, low energy, little river wind against tide bumps. It's so fun because you've got that slipperiness. And with winging is such a different thing because you got an engine. Unless you're wanting to ride bumps and go downwind, obviously, then you're doing a bit of both. But it's the 135's awesome. Still heaps of recovery from jumps and all that, you know, getting on foil, not an issue. But yeah, it's like I said, literally that tail just lives on my setup. It just never comes off.
I think what you just said then, Marcus, how you said like winging's like having a motor, and how we were talking about the 615 at the start of this podcast. The difference between like, I guess, proning or downwinding with the 615 and the R-tails, or you know, any of this stuff that's a bit smaller compared to winging or towing, is when you're letting go of the rope or you're letting go of the power, winging and towing, you're at the speed that the foil wants to be at. Whereas when you're prone and the wave energy is a little bit light on, or you're downwind and you're a bit underdone, there's nothing you can do to get going faster to where the foil is at its happy place. I think they call it the glide ratio, but I just call it the sweet spot, like the foil planing speed. You need to get that foil planing to then be able to open up all the possibilities and open up all of the range. Whereas if you're not getting the foil planing, then you're just always underdone and you're fighting that like sinking feeling. So towing and winging, as long as there's enough wind, you've got plenty of power. Like you're letting go of the rope or letting go of the wing at the time when you're planing. Whereas when you're prone or you're downwind, like when you're powered by your own pumping, sometimes there's no bump big enough that's going to get you going quick enough. And that's probably a good one for guys that, you know, a bit on the heavier side. Maybe it's not a prone or a downwind wing for you. If you're pushing like 90 to 100 kilos, then you're going to have some pretty special conditions to be proning or downwinding pretty much the 680R or the 615S. They're definitely for 85 kilos and under, I would say, for most conditions, if you're proning or downwind. But for towing and winging, it honestly is for, like, Will McMillan's 110 kilos. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's like my light to medium wind wing for racing. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, testers use it quite heavy. Yeah, but, yeah, like I said, wing's different. It's a good point to bring up, and something that I continuously hear with downwind, you know, guys trying to push too small. And usually trying to chase speed, and you might get some fast Ks, but, you know, your average speed is, yeah, like you said, you get it to that spot where it's well lit, you know, you feel like you're in a boat that's planing, it feel all of a sudden it flattens out and goes fast, and you feel the foil get into that zone. When it's not there, you're always pumping. And I think a lot of people get caught up in trying to go too small quite often. And we even see it in races. You know, I get Molokai was a good example. Some of the quickest guys across the channel didn't win the race, you know. So it's the average speed thing, I think, is an interesting thing if that's what you're chasing. Or if you're just chasing a mental kilometer speed, then, yeah, take 5 minutes to paddle up and just wait for that section to come. But yeah, it is interesting. I find that a lot, that I hate that feeling of having to pump. I'd way prefer to be overfoiled and hanging on than working to get that 1 kilometer sort of glory thing. That's just seems like hard work for me. And on hard work, 615 is not a prone foil for me at 60, and I'm the lightest of the group, so, and probably the least fit, and it's just too hard for me. So I actually quite often use a bigger foil, and I probably can't turn as hard, but I can link up waves. So it's probably like it's you got to be realistic with who you are, I think, with it, if you're gonna tackle that. Like watching Josh link up 3 waves, I think it was, at Watergoes, blew my mind. I'm like, I'm not linking up one. If I link up 3 on the 850, I'm about to have a heart attack. So it's yeah, everyone's different. But
you've been in Perth too long, Marcus.
What's that?
You've been in Perth too long.
Yeah, you get no fitness in Perth. Downwinding's easy. You don't get to prone. But prone's the killer. That fight, I can swear to God, that's the hardest.
Need a foil drop, Marcus.
Nah, because I'm already the oldest of the group, and I feel like I'll get old age quicker if I get a foil drive. I need to keep trying to stay young. I need the exercise.
I think a good question, because we got two new tails coming from the R range that are available, is how would you decide which one is for you?
Me?
Well, just like any of you boys, yeah. I think we should go around, because I think it's cool, like, you know, with different abilities and weights, like it would be hard to decide just by looking at the two stabilizers which one to pick.
Yeah, I'll start. I think it kind of depends on what you're used to using. Like if you're already using the 770 for downwind and that's your go-to every day of the week, I probably wouldn't go the 120. Because the 770 already goes pretty quick, and the 135 with the 770 is still a very usable setup. With the 120, it needs a bit more power. But if you're someone who's using more like the 1130 or the 860 for downwind, then I'd definitely be looking at the 120, just because you're getting more top end out of a bigger foil. And if, like, say I had the 120 and the 150 tails to match with my 860 and my 1130s, then I've got a lot of range there. Whereas if I was to buy the 135, it's just closer to the 150 or the 142. So yeah, for me, it depends on that. And a lot of guys locally have just bought the 135s because they're already using the 770. But yeah, like I said, if I had an 860, I'd be tap it into that 120 tail, and you'd be surprised how quick that 860 goes with the 120, that's for sure. Dan?
How would I choose it? My default is always I kind of go for a slightly bigger tail first, and I've kind of fell in love with the 135. But I strap the 8. My litmus test is always the 850, and I'll put the 13. I'll put anything against that with a medium fuse. And it was probably December. I was always a lot 850, 135. Then I try the 120, 135, 120. I settled on the 135, and it was probably because it gave a little bit more stability. That was the big thing. You get more roll and a little bit more turn out of the 120R, but I settled on the 135 mainly because of the stability of it that just kind of offered a little bit more security in downwind conditions.
I found the same when I surf as well, Dan. So when I, like I was saying, with the 615, the 135 was definitely easier to use than the 120 or even the 150 because it's got more span. It's actually got sort of similar span to the 158 from my little...
Just with us talking, though, I really want to jump back onto it with what you're talking about with the bigger tail, the bigger front wings and the smaller tails. There was that race that we were a part of over here. The conditions weren't great, they're quite weedy, but we all kind of strapped on those bigger R's with the smaller R tails. You, me, and Hugh, we did quite well. There's a bit more to go there, I reckon.
Yeah, no, I think definitely the small tails, big front wing is to me the most efficient way to go. But yeah, Bongi, what do you reckon out of the two tails? What's your advice?
I agree with what you guys are saying. I would say you have to be realistic with your ability. There's a lot of guys downwinding that aren't just jumping up and foiling to the end of their run. So those guys, I would say 135, even if they're using a bigger front, just to give them that extra bit of forgiveness at bottom end. If you're doing downwinders in one shot and you're comfortable, you can talk to your mate while you're downwinding. For sure, have a crack at the 120. Challenge yourself. Get a little bit of a more playful feel. But yeah, if you're already sort of, I think you need to be at a certain level to go to the 120 or super light. But yeah, like I agree, the 120 is nice with a big front, but if your ability is above intermediate, I guess. So I guess if I put myself in the consumer's shoes, that's what I would be thinking.
Yeah. Nice one. Makes sense. Good advice. You always tell me to go bigger. Ben told me to go bigger when I did the world record foil. He's like, don't be stupid, Jimmy. Just use your big foil. You're going for 12 hours. And it was the best advice I got all day.
Stay jacked.
Marcus, what do you reckon?
Pretty much exactly what Ben said. I guess one thing to touch on outside of just downwind is I think a lot of people, when they're learning to prone and kick off, like one of the first things you really want to nail is that your first two for one. I think if you're at that level, the R series is not the go. It's too unforgiving at that low end, because quite often they'll kick off. I haven't quite figured out how to kick off the back of a wave with speed is usually what I'd notice with learners. And almost feels like you're going to breach when you pop over the back at speed but that's kind of the key to it. I'd say if you're at that level, stick with a bigger AR because it'll be forgiving and it will get, you might be able to dig out of that hole and make it out the back. It's probably the same with winging. I think even though you do have a motor, if you're learning and you're still learning jibes and stuff, potentially you're going to fall out of the sky a bit easier mid-jibe if you're kind of still figuring that out. That's not what I'd be going for. Probably the common kind of theme there is like just check your ability, I think. They like to go fast and they'll go fast all day if you've got the ability, you're good at pumping. But it's not like you need to be a pro, but I think you just don't need to be, you don't want to be a learner. It's kind of
I think it's worth mentioning, like, these R tails are smaller than all of the AR tails in the range. Like, the 135 is smaller than the 142 by a step, and the 120 is another step. So it's these are small tails, and if you find the 142 a bit small and, you know, not enough push, like not enough surface area, then, you know, realistically, even though they're higher aspect, they're not the tail wing for you, basically.
Yeah.
We're coming up to an hour, and I'm trying to keep it to an hour. I know the only other thing that we haven't talked about for the release is the paddle covers, and that's something that Dan's worked pretty hard on. So maybe you want to talk us through it, mate.
I just hate getting, I hate dropping my paddle and smashing it. And I think that there's a lot of these little accessories that I think that we can work on that help, they accompany what we do. And the paddle cover is probably the first little foray into it. We went up to the factory last year and we worked pretty hard with it, made sure all the padding's right, stitching's right. And I think we've come up with a pretty nice heavy duty paddle cover that will fit most paddles, even the bigger ones that are on the market. But specifically, it's for our code paddle. So it's a nice addition for sure.
Yeah, and it matches our covers for the foils.
Yeah, my board and paddle lives in the back of my truck. So it's, if I didn't have a, like, I've got a board bag and, like, I've got my paddle cover as well with my paddle in it. And, like, it's you've got such expensive gear. And if you don't look after it, like, you know, when you throw your stuff in someone else's car, when you're going for a downwind, like, it's just going to get banged up. And it's just, you've spent so much money. Why not just, like, get a little cover that's just going to protect your gear and just make it last that much longer? And
we didn't set them at a high price point too, so hopefully they're affordable for a lot of people, and it's just a small addition. If you get one of the code paddles or you want to chuck yours in, it's good.
Yeah, I think especially when you're traveling for a downwind race with your paddles, throwing your paddle in a board bag and having it arrive with a broken, you know, with a snapped blade or a crack in the shaft, it's kind of game over. I've actually always paddled with two paddles because it's harder to break like two sticks than it is one, just that extra strength. So, and also if you break one, then you've got the other one, but I actually do it because it makes it stronger. So, paddle covers is sort of a must if you're traveling for races, in my opinion.
I have weird dreams about, like, you know, trailing edges get damaged and it makes me cringe, you know. And then the paddle is such a critical piece of equipment, you know, a little chip here or something in the carbon, and you could be out 2Ks offshore and have it snap on you, and then it's game over, man.
Actually, when I rocked off at D-Rod Point the other day and I got a bit of a yard sale, my paddle bashed against a rock and the blade wasn't clean. Right at the tip of it, it had a bit of a, you know, it was basically just like beating it against a rock. That's what had happened. And I used it and I felt like I didn't have as much power. And I went home and I, you know, after I put myself all together and after the run, I sanded it back and, like, made it clean again, and went out and did some flat water paddle ups just to sort of test it. And it was crazy how much, like, it was a pretty good sized chip, but how much a blunt, that damage on the paddle made it feel a lot worse. So people forget that paddles are essentially a foil. And if you don't get your paddle fully under the water or use your paddle, you know, the way it's supposed to be used, it's going to drop out. So, like, a little chip or a bit of damage on the leading edge, I guess, that bottom edge of the foil, the paddle that is a foil, it reduces a lot of power, which means you're not going to get up potentially. So look after your kit, basically, and if you do damage it, get it repaired or sand it back or whatever you need to do to make it smooth.
Get the wet and dry up for the races.
That's it, Cooey. You know. Cooey's our most competitive racer in the team, I think, at the moment. He's
coming in hard.
Yeah. Botany Blast, current leader.
And I got shortchanged over in Florida, but had that too.
Makes you hungry.
Second in the semi, isn't it? Isn't that the result? Second in the semi?
Mate, I was killing it until I got cut off a couple times and I didn't get a chip in. So, yeah, I had it, but the foil choice was right. It's just not my day.
Do you want to give us a little bit of an insight on that just to finish up and then we'll call it?
No, it was a great race. The kind of what they did over there with the you take off from a wave on a beach and then you go kind of downwind for probably like, it's not far at all. It's like 300, 400 meters and you go around a buoy and then you pump back upwind to where you started, come down off foil and then catch another wave and do it again. And in the past, I think with the foils not being as good, like you have the option of running back up the beach, but now that the foils are so good, everyone just pumps back upwind. A couple guys made bad decisions and rode like really small foils. So they couldn't pump up against the wind, but I chose one of the bigger R foils that are about to be released soon. And I actually had no dramas pumping up wind. I actually came back up to the finish line and I wasn't even gassed, to be honest. I kind of wish the race was longer. Because I think I definitely would have had the advantage there. But yeah, like it got so competitive with all these amazing foilers. Everyone like was taking off shoulder to shoulder next to each other. And then as soon as they take off, you know, you try and bust off the back of a wave and there's someone there. And it was mayhem, but it was such a good public event where like spectators can see the action. It's not like a downwind race where everyone paddles up and they're gone. Like it was so good for the friends and family to watch. And even just like people that, like if I wasn't in that heat, I would watch it and it was exciting. Like it was super exciting. And I think it was a really good format and I would love to bring that to Australia and create an event like that because it has an aspect of surf foiling downwind and a race. So I think it ticks all the boxes and take my hat off to Billy Bosch from Good Breeze who put it on and hopefully, yeah, I can get there again next year, and yeah. But I think short mast and bigger prone board because the waves that you had to take off on were like literally a knee high shore break where like you have to take off and literally kick off the back of the wave and pump out to sea. So it was if you didn't get that chip in, you've lost the race pretty much.
I'd love to see it at a point break here on the East Coast. Like imagine having it out, you know, at Watergoes or Plummer or, you know, we should do it at the Foil Fest this year. It's chapter's aim. But I think it'd be a pretty cool one to do. And, yeah, you could have the run along the beach if you wanted or the pump back out.
Yeah, that would be awesome because you can just watch it and see if it's better. Like, it's all tactics, you know. I think maybe if I run in on the beach, I could run up and beat someone who's, like, foiling on, like, a 700 square centimeter foil because there's no way they can pump up against the wind and, it's all tactics, so it's good strategy and exciting.
Yeah, I'll stay tuned maybe for some of that racing here in Oz. But I think that's it. I think that's the code catch up. I think that's it's our fifth release. I think it's our fourth or third catch up and first for Cooey. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening along and thanks for following our journey so far. Almost a year old. code. I think we launched around March, but first foil wasn't available till June. So, and we got our mascot here as well.
Yeah, coming in hot. We got plenty more to come. This is just like, yeah, like what you said, Jimmy, the fifth drop, and we've got another one coming in a couple months and exciting things for this year.
Yeah, can't wait. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.